to our service here, the last service in the last Sunday of the last year of this decade. Can you imagine 10 years has gone by and it's so quick. I hope that this year, this past year of 2019, has been a year full of learning and being enlightened on what it means to be a growing believer in Christ by the grace of God. If you can remember, most of the year we took up the letter of the Galatians, and that's the message of the letter of the Galatians, right? For us to continue to grow by the grace of God, the Father. And I hope that you benefited from that study as much as I have, and my hope and prayer is that we have all grown together in our walk of faith through our study of the Galatians. Amen to that? I hope you guys did. I hope you guys benefited. I hope you guys grew as I have. I hope you will continue to grow this coming year of 2020. Now, for those of you who are still unclear or still have questions about the basics of Christianity, please sign up for our basic Bible class. We're going to start another one next year. We will begin our sessions on the first Sunday of January. And this class is not necessarily just for those who have been baptized or have not yet been baptized. It is for everyone who has questions about what it means to be a Christian and who has questions about what it means to live like one. Okay? If you have questions that you want answered, I'm not going to be able to answer it here. But I will do my best to try and answer it during basic Bible class. In fact, I have changed the curriculum to be more interactive as the topics for each session is pretty much based on any questions you may have on the main topic of salvation and what it means to be saved according to the Bible. So basic Bible class is about salvation, okay? But the topics that we're going to be talking about when it comes to salvation is going to come from those who attend through your questions. So it's going to be interactive in that sense so that you can get the most out of this class. I'm not just going to be dictating to you what the topics are going to be. You're going to be the ones who are going to determine what the topics are. So the more questions you have, the more material we can talk about. And hopefully, the discussions that will develop from your questions will help you understand Christianity and salvation as a whole. So hopefully that encourages people to come. And again, this is not just for those who have not yet been baptized. This is for everybody. If you have questions, you've been baptized, but I have questions, come to basic Bible class. Okay? I'll have a sheet outside for you maybe next week is the start. But yeah, I'll let you know next week what's going to happen. Maybe we have to delay the start because I'm not sure when to start this because a lot of people have a hard time coming here at 9:30 in the morning, so we'll probably have it even after service. The last basic Bible class that I had, we had it on a Saturday. Everybody agreed on a Saturday class. Everybody showed up for the Saturday class. We only had like two Saturday sessions, and that was it. A few of them were baptized last year. So that's my hope, that people will come and do that, and my hope and prayer for all of us is that we will have the desire to prioritize our spiritual growth this coming year. That's the title of our message, Prioritizing Our Priorities. We all have different priorities. We need to prioritize what those priorities are, right? And I pray that one of those priorities is our spiritual growth. The coming of a new year is almost always a signal to set our priorities, right? It's called what? New Year's resolutions is a resetting of priorities. Unfortunately, for a lot of us, spiritual growth is usually at the very bottom of the list or not in the list at all. Who here has already set their New Year's resolutions? Nobody yet? Hopefully, you will include spiritual growth in your list of priorities this coming year. Now, one article writes this: every year, millions of people make New Year's resolutions hoping to spark a positive change. The recurring themes each year include a more active approach to health and fitness, improved finances, and learning new things for personal and professional development. And the list of the most common New Year's resolutions include these. Number 10, read more. Number 9, travel more. Who wants to do that next year? Excited. What about read? Nobody wants to read? Number 8, spend more time with family and friends. 7, those of you who are smoking, quit smoking or vaping or whatever it is nowadays. Right? Nobody smokes anymore. Everybody vapes. 6, save more money. Spend less money. That goes hand in hand. This number 5 is like for everybody. Live life to the fullest. I don't know what that means, but live life to the fullest. Maybe that means not doing the past 4. I'm not going to quit smoking. I'm going to read. Number 4, learn a new skill or hobby. Oh, people still do that, right? 3, get organized. And then the last 2, lose weight. Exercise more. Those are the most common New Year's resolutions, New Year's priorities for a lot of people, for a majority of people here in North America. And every year, at the start of the year, that's what we do. We write down the things that remind us that in our lives that we need to improve on and grow in. Right? That's what we do every year. And for every year, for most people, including Christians, the list may or may not include spiritual growth. There's a lot of things about health and wellness and finances, but nothing about our spiritual growth. We tend to prioritize everything else before our spiritual growth. This is the one thing that a lot of us put off. Spiritual growth, I'm just a regular member of the church. I don't need to be growing that fast. I think I'm pretty healthy. I attend every Sunday. I don't need to prioritize my spiritual growth. We tend to put that one off every year. And this morning, my goal is to encourage you to not just include spiritual growth in your list of priorities for the coming year, but to make it your top priority. Okay? I know that's going to be hard. It's going to be a challenge. But that's the goal this morning, to make spiritual growth your top priority this coming year. And we're going to see this truth in the book of Haggai. I know some of you, Haggai, I couldn't even find Haggai when I was first looking for this book. Like, where is Haggai? But we're going to see it in the book of Haggai. Let's read it again. Haggai 1, verses 1 to 4. The second year of Darius the king, in the 6th month, on the 1st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Verse 2, thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Verse 3, and the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet, saying what? Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while the house of the Lord, lies in ruins? So before we get into the text, let me give you a quick background as to what's going on here at the beginning of Haggai's book. Okay, like just like what we saw in the video, okay? After almost 70 years of captivity under the hands of the Babylonian Empire, the king of Persia, who took over from the Babylonians, allowed the exiled Jews to return back to Jerusalem. So when the Babylonians take over, they destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, took a bunch of Jews to be their slaves, and they were exiled for 70 years. When Persia took over, the king allowed the Jews to go back to Jerusalem. Now, as far as priorities go, the Israelites, the exiled Israelites who are now free to go back to Jerusalem, their main priority was to what? After they returned to Jerusalem, rebuild. Not just the city, but the temple itself, because the temple signifies their relationship with God. That was their main priority, to rebuild the temple. Now, what did they do? History tells us that it took the Israelites 2 years to begin rebuilding the temple. So when they got back to Jerusalem, they didn't start right away. It took them a couple of years. Maybe because they're still rebuilding the walls of the city and their houses and stuff like that. But after 2 years, they started rebuilding the temple. Now, after 2 years, they stopped rebuilding the temple. So you get what I'm saying here? Took them 2 years to start. They rebuilt for 2 years. Then they stopped. And then it took them another 18 years to finish rebuilding the temple. What happened? What happened? Why delay their main priority? What did they do? Right? What happened? Let's go again. Haggai 1, verse 2. What was the reason for the work stoppage? Haggai 1, verse 2. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Why did they stop working? They said that, well, you know what? It's not yet time. It's out of God's timing. It is so hard to rebuild the temple that they had to come up with something, some kind of excuse to make it legit, right? To make it sound spiritual. So the excuse that they used was what? It's out of God's timing. One commentary paraphrased their excuse as this: it isn't God's timing yet to rebuild the temple. That's why we should just chill for now. Sounds like a lot of us, right? When it comes to our priorities, it's spiritual growth should be our number one. But what do? We put it off. Who knows for what reasons, but the number one reason we give is this: it is not God's timing yet. You know, it's not God's timing for me yet. That's why it sounds so familiar, because we use the same excuse when it comes to rebuilding our relationship with God and focusing on our spiritual growth. Why? Because it is hard. Growing spiritually is hard. Walking by faith is hard. So what do? We start rationalizing and we start justifying how hard these steps are. These steps that we need in order to grow spiritually. We start rationalizing and justifying how hard these steps are, and then we make the excuse and make it sound spiritual. Maybe it's not time for God. It's not God's timing yet. But in reality, it is just hard. And it's true. It is really hard when it comes to our spiritual growth. It's hard to focus on it with all the other things we got going on in our lives. But instead of prioritizing it, we just make excuses. So what happens is, we cannot really justify not growing spiritually, especially for us believers, right? You can't justify not growing spiritually. All of us know that that's not the way to go when it comes to being a Christian. We have to keep growing spiritually. Everybody agrees with that, right? So you can't justify that, but when it comes to actually doing it, can't do it either. So what do? We make excuses. We blame our lack of growth on God's timing. Is it just me? We do, right? Meanwhile, what do? I'm not growing spiritually. It's because of God's timing. It's not because of, you know, of anything else. God's timing. Meanwhile, we continue to prioritize everything else and everyone else ahead of our relationship with God, right? And just like the Israelites, we came up with all kinds of excuses. What are the excuses of the Israelites? Oh, the work was so hard. It's hard to rebuild the temple, right? Or we don't have enough money, says the Israelites. We can't rebuild right now. It's not God's timing because we don't have enough money. Or we have a lot of enemies that's hindering our work. That's why we can't work on it right now. That's why we have to stop. Right? What about us? What's going to be our excuse this coming year? Right? When the invite goes out for basic Bible class, what's your excuse to delay? Oh, lots. You can come up with a lot of excuses to delay. When the invite goes out for you to attend prayer meeting, what's your excuse next year? It's on a Wednesday. In the middle of the week, I'm tired. I live far. I need to work overtime. What's your excuse? What's your excuse to keep putting that off? When an invite goes out for you to be active in a ministry of the church, what's your excuse to delay? The Israelites, in the time of Haggai, came up with all kinds of excuses. But what was the real reason why they neglected to build God's temple? Their main priority to begin with. What was the real reason? Verses 3 and 4. And the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. 4. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? What was the real reason why these people neglected to do their main priority, which is to build up God's temple? They were building their own temples, right? So when the Israelites said that the reason why they neglected the completion of God's temple was because it wasn't time yet, that was just an excuse. That wasn't the real deal. That wasn't the real reason why they neglected to build God's temple, because what they ended up doing was this. They ended up building their own. One commentary said this. The people said that it wasn't time to rebuild the temple, but their actions said that it was time to live in nicely built houses. Somebody said earlier in the Sunday school, actions speak louder than words. So this must be the real reason why these people neglected to build God's temple. But if you think about it, how did they manage to rebuild their own homes? What was their excuse for not building God's temple? Hard. The work is hard. I have no finances. I have no money. And there's enemies around us. Right? That's why I can't build God's temple. How did they manage to build theirs? Is it easier to build your house than God's house? Aren't you going to spend money building your own house as well? Are the enemies going to stop attacking because you're building your house instead of God's house? Same excuses they use still applies, right? But did they end up rebuilding their houses? Yes, they managed to build their own homes, not applying those excuses, right? Why? Because they had their priorities mixed up, right? They were willing to let the work of the Lord suffer in their lives as long as they continue to do what benefits them in the here and now. In other words, building up God's spiritual house, as far as their spiritual growth is concerned, it's so hard, and it doesn't have the immediate benefits, so let me just give in to my desires, you know, the desires of my flesh. Let me build what's going to give me immediate benefits. Like, let me just build my house. Buy a big screen TV. Install a home theater. Paint. Rip up all that carpet. Put some hardwood on. I'm describing myself, by the way. But that's what we do, right? All of a sudden, those excuses don't apply anymore because it's for immediate fleshly benefits. Oh, somebody's talking back. Right? That's what's happening here. It's like saying this. It's easier to sit and watch Netflix than to fight off sleepiness when reading and studying the Word of God. I'm the same way, okay? I'm not saying this just for, ooh, you guys are like this. No. Right. One movie, an average movie, is how long? A couple of hours. Right? A couple of hours. Stay up through it, eating popcorn, excited. 10 minutes of reading God's Word. Am I lying? So what's easier? Watching Netflix for a couple of hours or reading God's Word for 10 minutes? easier is, let me just watch Netflix. Plus, the benefits is right away. Reading God's word, the benefits, I won't see that until I get to heaven. But the Netflix, Disney Channel, what else is there? Crave. What else is there? Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime. And then within Amazon Prime, there are different channels too. Stars. That's easier. Yeah, I'll pay for that even, right? It's easier to do that. Or it takes less effort to wake up and go to work because we get paid every 2 weeks than to wake up and attend Sunday school. Do you ever think about that? Why is it easier for us to wake up or whatever time you guys work at 6:30 in the morning to go to work than to wake up, say, at 8:30 and make it for 9:30 here for Sunday school? Why is it easier? Isn't it the same thing? It's the same day. No. Why? Well, so why is it easier? Because the benefits of work is immediate. It's right there. 2 weeks, I get paid. This one, and when I die, I get paid. Right? That's why it's easier. Right? And a lot of us, we tend to just put off this and prioritize the other. That's what the Israelites are doing in our text. So how does God respond? How does God respond to these excuses through the prophet Haggai? Let's continue with the verse, verse 5. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, what? Consider your ways. Prioritize. Consider your ways. Verse 6, you have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. So God's answer is first what? Consider your ways. Think about what you're doing. Prioritize. Right. This is a figure of speech in the Hebrew that literally means put your heart on the roads. Put your heart on the roads, which means to consider, think about the direction your life is headed. And would you really like to continue going in that direction? That's what consider your ways means. And nowadays, it's more important to realize this more than ever. Why? Because time flies by so fast. Did you know that in aeronautics, when you're flying an airplane and you're off 1 degree from your destination, next thing you know, you're going to be lost. Why? Because it multiplies. Every time, every hour you travel, you're 1 degree off, means equals whatever, 200, 300, 400, 500 miles, you're going to be off course. Now you get lost for 1 minute, it's easy to correct. You get lost for an hour, maybe you can still make your way back. But if you keep neglecting that 1 degree, you get lost for half the flight, you're gone. You won't know where you are. That's what's happening for a lot of people in the Christian life, right? Oh, I miss a Sunday. It's one Sunday. God will understand. Wednesday? Sorry. It's just one Wednesday. Next thing you know, it's 5, 6 Wednesdays. Then all Wednesdays. Next thing you know, you're just coming to church Christmas Eve. Next thing you know, you're not coming to church at all. You're just waiting for us to post the videos. So you can watch it at your own time. To take a break from watching Netflix, let me watch the sermon. Make myself feel better. That's what's happening. If you keep neglecting these things, that's what's gonna happen. That's why Haggai, God is saying to us, think about where your life is headed right now. Think about it now. You keep going this way, next thing you know, a decade will pass by. And you'll be so off course, you won't even know what you are. Am I a Christian still? Do I still believe? Hebrews talks about that, right? The drift, We keep drifting. You lie down on the sea, you relax, right? Just lying down. Lie down there for an hour. Next thing you know, the beach is going to be so far, it's hard to swim back. Why? Because that current keeps dragging you off. That's the Christian life the same way. Living in this world that we live in right now with all kinds of distractions, all kinds of things pulling you away from the faith. If you don't prioritize your spiritual growth, you're going to end up not just growing spiritually, but you're going to end up spiritually dead. If you keep on going the same way every year, the same thing, you say you're going to do it, but you end up doing something else, next thing you know, you're going to be so far off course. So God says in Haggai, verse 5, consider your ways. Consider where your life is headed. And consider if you would really like to keep going that way. Think about that. And then he gives us examples, results of having the wrong priorities. First result of having or living with mixed or wrong priorities is in verse 6. He says, Haggai says, you have sown much and harvested little. What do you think he's talking about? Wrong priorities when it comes to our finances. When you have wrong priorities spiritually, you're going to have wrong priorities practically. Okay? And you're going to see this, in this verse. Why does Haggai use finances when talking about spiritual priorities? Because when you have wrong spiritual priorities, you will have wrong financial priorities. You have sown much, but harvested little. So because of mixed or wrong priorities, we work like dogs, but we also end up eating like dogs. Right? We work so much, but because of our wrong priorities, we also end up eating like dogs. And you parallel that with the last phrase in verse 6. Last phrase in verse 6 says, and he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. What does that mean? You keep putting? Does your bag get filled up? No. Why? Because of wrong priorities. Priorities are mixed. So what do we do? We tend to spend more than we make because of wrong priorities. A lot of us can relate to that. I can, for sure. Right? And I'm not talking about, I know some of you probably think, oh, you're talking about tithing. Yes, I will be talking about tithing, but let's forget tithing for now. Okay? Forget tithing for now. We'll get back to that later. Let's just stick with our priorities when it comes to our spending. Okay? Because here's the thing. Ultimately, again, mixed spiritual priorities leads to mixed practical priorities. Say that again. Mixed spiritual priorities will lead to mixed practical priorities. So instead of only spending what we can, we go above and beyond. How? I'm not rich. Yes, you are. Some of us think we are because we have a lot of credit cards. Talk about mixed priorities. You're not just spending above and beyond what you make. You're spending what is not yours. Mixed priorities, spiritual priorities, will lead to mixed practical priorities. So instead of just waiting and saving up for what we want, we use credit cards. And at the end of the month, something kicks in. What is that? It's called interest. Someone once told me that interest can be your friend if you're earning it, not when you're paying for it. But that's what happens with us, right? When we buy the thing that we need to buy, the thing that we want to buy right away, we use credit cards. And remember that feeling when you buy it, when that credit card says approved? You're so happy. Yes, I get to take this home. End of the month comes. You get the bill because of mixed priorities. Right? Having mixed priorities when it comes to finances comes with it a double curse. First, you get buried in debt. Okay? And for most people, because they're buried in debt, they neglect the tithe. Right? And the excuse sounds so legit, right? Oh, I got to pay my debts first. And it sounds so legit. It's like listening to the Israelites justify their neglect of building the temple. It's not God's timing yet. Same thing with us. When we get mixed priorities in finances, we get buried in debt. And then when it comes to giving back to God, we make excuses. I got to pay my debt first. And we justify it, right? We justify it to a point that we make ourselves believe that, yes, this is priority. Debt is priority. But listen, stop dancing around the main issue here, okay? What we need to understand and to realize is that the issue here is not that you are in debt. That's a given, right? The issue is how you got into debt in the first place. Isn't that the issue? Because a lot of people make it the issue about the debt. No, 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 you already have that. That you can't do anything about that. How did you get into that? That's the issue. Because if you don't deal with that issue from the root, you're going to do the same thing next year. You're going to do the same thing the year after that. And you're going to do the same thing and keep doing the same thing until you cut off the root. Right? How did you get into debt to begin with? Because it is right. Yeah, pay off your debts. But if you stop there and you don't cut off the root of why you keep getting into debt, you'll just be going around in circles. And then every year you make the same excuse. When we announce, oh, grab your slips, or what do you call those things? For the offering. T4 is for your income. The receipts for your income, right? Oh, you grab your income receipt, you know how much you paid. How much you offered, how much you gave to the church. Grab your receipt. And you go there, last name Guzman, there's nothing here for you. Are you sure? I'm pretty sure I gave. No. Nothing for you. Oh, yeah, because I was paying my debts the whole year. That's what it is, right? How did you get into debt? Mixed priorities. Second result of having mixed priorities. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. What is Haggai talking about here? What's the other result of having mixed priorities? Is that you will not ever get satisfied. You will never get satisfied. What does it mean for us? Practically, that means that if we feed our hearts and our minds with junk food, don't expect to be satisfied. Right? If we prioritize Netflix or TFC, just because we're Filipino, I know a lot of people here, TFC, or Capamilia, or whatever it is that you subscribe to, okay? If you keep feeding your head that, if you keep prioritizing that over Bible study, don't expect to be satisfied. Expect to be addicted, but don't expect to be satisfied, right? Now, I'd be a hypocrite if I was to tell you to stop watching that stuff, it's bad for you. Because you all know I watch it. I watch Disney Channel, Mandalorian, whatever it is, the new show, Apple TV, all kinds of stuff. Yes, I do watch it. But here's the thing. How much do you watch it? Because you need to kind of balance that out, right? We need to know our limits and stay within it, right? OLG. Right? You know, OLGs, so stop gambling, know your limits, stay within it. Same with watching Netflix and TFC, right? Always make time, prioritize time for Bible reading and prayer because that's the food for our souls. So I'm not saying, no, don't watch Squid Cold Turkey, no. But you also have to prioritize what's more important, right? And the last two phrases, again, in verse 6, parallels the phrases before. Can we flash verse 6 again? So you have sown much and harvested little. The parallel to that is he who earns wages does so and put them into a bag with holes. The second phrase, you eat but you never have enough. You drink but you never have your fill. The parallel to that is the next phrase, you clothe yourselves but no one is warm. So you keep putting on these clothes. Meanwhile, you're not getting the results that you want to get. But you keep putting on clothes, but you're never getting warm. You're not being satisfied. Now, after those stern warnings, look at how Haggai concludes his rebuke of Israel in the next verse, verse 7. How does Haggai conclude his warnings? He says our phrase again, consider your ways. Take a good look at your priorities. And then he tells us what the priority should be. Consider your ways, build my temple, the Lord says. So what's Haggai's main point? Haggai's main point is this. Prioritize God in all things, and he will help you put things in priority. Say that again. Prioritize God in all things, and he will help you put all things in priority. Make sense? If God is your priority, he will help you prioritize everything else so that you don't get into debt, so that you don't, right? You don't keep walking the wrong way, so that you get back on the path in which God has called us to, right? Prioritize God in all things, and he will help you put all things in priority. That's what Matthew 6, 31 to 33 talks about, right? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? 32. For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. And 33, what? You guys read it. But God says, prioritize me first. I'll take care of the rest. You prioritize me. Prioritize building of the temple. Prioritize your spiritual growth. And the rest of these things will be added unto you. And that all things means all things. If it's losing weight, you need to lose weight. I think all things, that includes losing weight. You need to quit smoking? All things. Want to travel more? All things. But before you get there, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be done to you. It might not be this year, maybe next year, but it will be given unto you. So, to help us prioritize our spiritual growth this coming year, this coming decade, here are 10 questions that I'm going to encourage you to ask yourself. This is like the practical part of the message, right? I got this list of questions from an article on Desiring God entitled 10 Questions for the New Year. So, first question is, what's one thing that you can do this year to increase your enjoyment of God? How can you do that? How can you enjoy God more? I know we have all different ways of being satisfied, overjoying. What is it for you this year to increase your enjoyment of God? I started listening to praise and worship songs again. Since I stopped leading, I haven't listened to a lot of worship songs. But now I'm starting again because it gets me into a space where I can enjoy God. If that's reading your Bibles, then keep doing that. Or for you, if that's prayer, keep doing that. What is the one thing that you can do this year to increase your enjoyment of God? Is it coming to services? Is it coming to Sunday school? Is it discussing? What is it? Whatever it is, don't put it off. Prioritize it. Second, what's an impossible prayer you can pray for this coming year? Our prayer for this coming year is that we can start a second service. Sounds impossible. But if it's not impossible and we accomplish it, then it probably wasn't God. Probably was us. But if it's impossible and you accomplish it, then you know it's God. So what's an impossible prayer you could pray for this year? It could be the salvation of a loved one that you think is impossible. Could be that. What's the most important thing that you could do to improve your family life? Do we hold Bible studies every week with our kids? Do we pray with them? Those of you who have no kids, do you do that as husband and wife? Those of you who have no husband or wife, do you do that with brother, sister, friend? Right. Is it time for you to join a cell group? Right. Think about those things. Four, in which spiritual discipline do you most want to make progress this coming year? What are the spiritual disciplines? Reading your Bible, praying every day. Whatever else giving, that's a spiritual discipline, right? In which spiritual discipline do you most want to make progress this coming year? Whatever it is, don't put it off. Prioritize it. Five, what's the single biggest time waster in your life? How can you redeem the time? Unfortunately, you can't put your wife or your kids there. So my wife. You can't redeem your time. It's my kids waste my time a lot. No, what's the single biggest time? Have you ever audited yourself and the time that you spend during the day? Do that. I know some people, they write each and every expense. Right? I bought a piece of gum, 50 cents. They do that. I bought a coffee today, whatever, $2. Do that with your time. I spent 5 minutes on this. Okay, I spent 20 minutes waking up, or 5 minutes, brushing my teeth, okay. 0 minutes taking a shower. And then you look through it, what's the biggest time waster? I use my phone. The phone has a screen time. It keeps track of your screen time. Entertainment is like off the charts. Reading, little thing like this, right? Social media. Entertainment, that means games and movies. And that's my biggest time waster. What's yours? What's the most helpful way you could strengthen your church? Ever thought about that? That could help in your spiritual growth. Thinking of ways you can help the church. Seven, for whose salvation will you pray for most fervently this year? And that's for non-believers or those who say they are but don't act like it. I want to include those people too. They say they are but don't act like it. Pray for those people, whoever those people are in your lives. Eight, what's the most important way by God's grace you will try to make this year different from the last? Could be a lot of things, but I'm saying prioritize spiritual growth above all else. And all these things will be added unto you. Right? If number eight is losing weight, then yeah, go ahead. Lose weight, but not at the expense of your spiritual growth. Right? Last two, nine. What one thing could you do to improve your prayer life this year? That's my main focus for me this year. Because prayer, I've proven it many, many times that prayer does work. Because of my stubbornness, I still don't have a consistent prayer life. But we've proven it. I've proven it many, many times. So what is one thing that we could do to improve our prayer life this year? Maybe that's coming to prayer meeting. If you can't do it on your own, maybe you have to have somebody there with you to help you out. That's a big help for me. Right? And last one, what single thing can you plan to do this year that will matter most in 10 years or even eternity? I know some of us are planning to go missions full time. Some of us, are planning to be more active in ministry, to lead more people into Christ. What single thing will you plan to do this year that will matter most in 10, not just in the present, but but in 10 years or in eternity. It could be being a better father. New fathers. Being a better father, right? Leading your family spiritually. That could, that will matter in 10 years when your child isn't a teenager. Right? Being a better mother, being a better husband, being a better wife, being a better friend. What are these things? How would you, the way you answer these things will, number one, help show you what your priorities are. And number two, if your priority, if you're going to prioritize spiritual growth this year, and not just this year, the coming years, it will help you actually intentionally chase after that priority. Intentionally do it. So this, again, these questions are in desiringgod.org. The title of the article is 10 Questions for a New Year. I hope that you will go there with, you know, on your phone or on your laptop and just answer this. Take time to answer these questions and prioritize your coming year. So believers, this coming year of 2020, put your relationship with God and your growth in faith above everything else. Why? Because God is not unjust or unfaithful. He knows what your physical needs are, and He will provide. So don't worry about those things. Don't worry about physical. Prioritize spiritual. And all those things will come. You believe that? I hope so. Trust God for all your physical needs and prioritize your spiritual needs this coming year. And again, prioritize God above everything else in your life, and He will help you put everything in your life in priority. I hope you don't just listen to this. I know that I'm not the start of the year yet, but I hope you remember this message in the next few days when the start of the year does come. Prepare for it. Prepare by asking those questions. Prepare by praying. Prepare by, you know, even asking me questions or asking some of our elders questions about how you go about, you know, accomplishing the spiritual goals that you set for the year 2020. Amen. Let's pray.